Okay, so alive, welcome back to the Magic Minds podcast. I'm Matt Bourke. You're watching and listening to Liberty's number one podcast. Yup, the Liberties. Yup, the Flats. I don't know if we're the Liberty's number one podcast, and I don't really care. Being number one is not that important to me, to be honest with you. I just love the fact that we are from the Liberties and we're representing. For anybody that knows me, knows how much I love this place and I talk about a lot. It's just a magical place, right? I attribute a lot of my personality, my traits from the Liberties, a lot of my trauma, a lot of my success, a lot of my difficulties is from here. And you can't have one without the other. And I truly believe that's my gift. That is the gift I was given, you know, my difficult times, my success. It's all part of my path. It's all part of my journey. It's all part of my life. And I love it. I can't take one without the other. You know, I've had my difficulties. I've had my success. I've had some fun. I've had some absolute nightmares in life. But, you know, you can't have one without the other. And I attribute a lot of that to Liberties. If you've never been here before and it's within your 5K distance, come on down, check it out. Come over and have a cup of tea, Riz. If it's not within your 5K, you'll have to wait. And when the ban has been lifted, stall it down and have the crack with us. Right, so what is the crack today? I'm going to talk to you. The episode is called The Power of Our Story. Story is just so powerful, isn't it? How easy is it to explain something when you give somebody an analogy or when we hear someone else's story, we can make sense of it. There's a sense of connection. There's a sense of understanding when we hear stories. And I absolutely love that. And I think we all have a story. And I think it's really, really beneficial to share our story, to tell, you know, let people know what's going on. And it helps us navigate through life when we express, you know, I've had the greatest success, the greatest clarity in life when I start to tell my story through the podcast, through my book, life has got easier. I don't hold it in here in my heart and soul anymore. I talk about it. And that's what I'm going to talk to you today on this podcast. I'm going to talk to you about the success of the book. I'm going to talk to you about the impact that has had on close family and friends and the feedback that I've got. I want to share with you an intimate and personal story about me and my mom, courtesy of the book, how that has changed. You know, when people hear the word success and people have asked me, how many books did you sell? Yada, yada, yada. To me, that's not really important. Honestly, I don't deem success as monetization, money and fame and all that. I really don't. I probably would have years ago, but not anymore. To me, success is the impact that has had on people's lives, the close people around me, the feedback that I've got in from people. The success it has for me is how it's changed my life in regards to relationships, clarity in my mind, a platform to express myself. You know, that to me is success. Hearing people's stories back, that is success. It's I can't get my mind around it. The money thing, I promise you, selling, that's not important. Like, it's just money in the bank. Once I have money to buy a new pair of runners when I need them, if I need them, or if my kids ring me and text me for something, or their moms, or whatever, if I have the money to say, yeah, no problem, that's it. I'm grand. I don't need any more than that. Or for food or whatever. I live on a very low budget. So success of it is not that important. People's stories are more important to me. People's stories about how they've been inspired to heal their little self, that's hugely important to myself and Andy. That's what the podcast is all about. Stories that have the power to inspire. That's what we do. Right, so look, what has the success of the book been? It's been phenomenal. The stories that I've got back, you know, how it's changed people's lives, how people have been able to connect it because it's so similar to their life. The amount of people I've got that told me, Matt, it seems like you've been in my head. Matt, that's my story. You know, I've had sexual abuse, violence, drink, drugs, shame, guilt, fear, anxiety, depression, mental health, want to take my own life by suicide. And there's parts of that story that people can really connect and it feels like their story. The people around me, people that have helped me write this book, you know, have got on to me and said, you know what, Matt, through that work, I've recognised that there's parts of my life that that I need to heal my little self. I talk about in the book about healing my little self, you know, the trauma. I didn't realize, excuse me, the traumas that I had, because when they happened, I buried them in the back of my mind by using drink, drugs, eating disorders, training, steroids, relationships, sex, toxicity in my mind. They all just got numbed by all these agents. And I didn't realize it till I took them away in 2007. And that's when the work started to happen. And it was only when I pulled them back that I realized, wow, I've had a difficult childhood. I had a difficult experience because I didn't realize. And only when you start taking away the crutches that you have to face yourself, you got to turn in and look inside. I would have told you probably in 2006 and 7, yeah, I had a good childhood, blah, blah, or nothing really happened, because I didn't allow myself to go there. It was only when I took away the drink, the drugs, that we can see the reasons why we behave. We can see the reason why we take drugs, or we drink, or we're addicted to porn or whatever. And it was only then that I realized that I had a difficult past. And that starts you on your journey. And people could then relate to that when they read parts of the book. They could relate to that and they could see it. And so to hear these stories back is just phenomenal. You know, we, you know, through the podcast, through the book, like we've had stories about families being broken up and coming back together. Someone has watched my videos or read the book or listened to the podcast, and that has inspired them to change their behavior, change their attitudes, and reunite with their family, reunite with their family. You know, we've also had people that have been on the podcast that have been connected to people in their life they never knew existed, children that they never knew existed, brought them together. And that's through the power of their story. Them telling their story to the world opened up another part of someone else's world, and they brought it together. That's success. That's just fucking phenomenal. You know, the amount of emails we get, or private text messages we get from people saying, you know, they're in such a dark place, and to hear me as a male, and it don't only be sexist, to hear me as a male talking about anxiety, depression, shame, vulnerabilities, and to make that real, to make that accessible, to make that okay to talk, that has inspired men. You know, some people tell me that they listen and watch the work, but they don't like and comment my work, and that's okay. But it's having an impact on them. It's helping them change life. It's helping them accept it. If they don't tell anyone about it, if they just use that work and integrate it into their family life, their personal life, that to me is just phenomenal. That has huge, huge power. Like, it's deadly. If we can have that ripple effect that they can take that into their family, they don't have to like it on Facebook or social media, but if they can just bring it into their everyday life, isn't that just fucking phenomenal? Isn't it just absolutely phenomenal? And I love that. You know, it's just brilliant. It absolutely, to me, that's the success. You know, and we get that a lot on the podcast, people writing into us, you know, the power of our work. But, you know, I'm not going to tell anyone, I'm going to keep it to myself. And I'm absolutely okay with that. You don't have to sing from the rooftops about it once it's having that ripple effect. And if you can pay it forward, to me, that's in itself success for you. And then if we all took a piece of that and integrated it into our family, wouldn't that have a ripple effect? And wouldn't that change our community, change our life? It's just brilliant. I got asked a question on another podcast about how did I write the book, like what was the sequence of events. This is the way I do things, right? If I have a difficult moment, say, if I'm going through, say, anxiety, depression, something comes up that I'm shameful about or fearful of, I have a difficult day, and it might take me a couple of days to come out of it, but I'll be inspired to want to share, you know, say it's about compassion, say it's about shame, say it's about anxiety. I'll think of a video. I'll think of something that I want to turn it into that people can relate to it. I'll create a story. I'll be creative. It's like a piece of art, and I'll share it, and I'll talk about it. And people will try to understand, and people then can use it for themselves. They can be inspired, because I always have to be very mindful that I'm a male. Whatever my accent, my class, my look, that people might not usually see somebody like a man talking about love, kindness, compassion, understanding, or whatever. And I may be wrong, but a lot of people have said to me, even when I've worked with TY students, transition students, they're like, we didn't expect somebody like you to be talking about this, 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 and this. And I always laugh, what did you expect? Did you think I'd be talking about training or fighting or something? Because one of them told me I looked like Conor McGregor one time. As my beard was longer. And that to me is great. If they can hear me talk about love, kindness, compassion, understanding, it opens a door for other young lads and ladies, And that's the way I go about making videos. Same with the podcast interviews. If I'm interested in compassion, if I'm interested in trauma, if I'm interested in nutrition, immunology, they're my interest. And I wanted to share it and make it accessible to people, whether in my community, geographically in the Liberties, or whatever, our conceptual community. That's what I do. So with the book, so the poems, right? So if something had happened in my life, if there was something come up that I wanted to turn into a piece of art or a piece of creativity, I'd write a poem on it. I'd want to put it down on paper. Maybe I didn't want to make a video, so I started writing it down. And back in 2015, I decided that I would start writing poetry. I wanted to write my thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and I shared them with people. And they didn't get it. They didn't get like why I was writing. The people that I shared or person specifically didn't quite understand. They were obviously very black and white in their writing, and they questioned why I was saying what I'm saying, because it's not real, it's not exactly matter of fact. And like what I said at the very start about the story, it's about creating a piece of work that people can relate to. And it was my way of expressing it. I wasn't writing down a true story. I was writing down my thoughts, how I could actually paint a picture. Like an artist is really, or like make a piece of abstract. And it's beautiful, they paint. I wanted to be like that. I wanted to say it was about love, it was about anxiety, it was about fear, it was about gifts in life. I wanted to put it down there, portray parts of my story, but also make it accessible to people. And that didn't go down too well for the person, because they were analysing parts of the poem. And I'll read it out to you in a minute. I'm going to share some poetry with you and talk about why I wrote them. So there's one in here, where we're on page 30, 34, actually, 34. Yeah, it's called Living My Dream. So what I was talking about was I had met this person and I felt like, oh, my dreams had come true. It was just such a powerful place in my life. Now, I was having anxious moments, I was having doubts, I was having fears, I was having anxiety, I was having all these things, but I could still recognize that I was having huge success. I couldn't believe myself to have met this person, and that's what I wanted to tell. In spite of all that was going on for me, I was still trying to acknowledge that I was living my dream, but they didn't quite get that. And in fairness, I didn't know why I was writing back the way I was. I didn't know why I was writing the way I was writing back then, but I do now. I recently wrote some stuff over Christmas about, we buying gifts and exchanging and spending all our money chasing love. And I wrote a piece on that. But all I was trying to do was portray a story about we buy so much and we spend so much in order just to get love back. We give out trying to get love. That was the essence of my thinking when I wrote this. And the same back then, I had an idea in my head, and I wrote it. And obviously, people just didn't get it. So I'll share this with you. It's called Living My Dream. I always dreamt that this day would come. We'd sit holding hands under an August sun. I've always wished that I would find someone so special who would love my mind. We sit and talk and laugh all night. Days, weeks pass, and we never fight. I was lost, confused, and scared. I ran away, but thankfully, you still cared. You touched my hand. You held my heart. From that day on, I knew we'd never part. Oh, I dreamed that life would be so good, but without your love, I doubt it could. We're now dancing the dancing, living the dream, and I will love you always and forever. Thank you for being the captain of our dream. So I wrote that and I wanted to say how special and how special a relationship was for me. And they went, I laugh now, but it absolutely cut me deep when they went through the poem and said, like, we sit under the August sun. You don't like the sun. You're a ginger. You know, you're not into the sun. But I was trying to create just a story out of it. And there was another piece in here. We sit up, where was it? Sitting up all night. She said, sure, you go to bed at 9 o'clock. You go to bed at 8:30, 9 o'clock. So, but that was just probably, I don't know, it was a reflection of where we were in our relationship or where we were in our mind or where we were in life. But to me, I couldn't explain why I was writing. And they were literally taking the poem as matter of fact. But what I was trying to do was just be thankful of the relationship, thankful of all the fears and anxiety and want to run away, that I was still there and they were still with me. And yeah, it was hard to take when they didn't get it, and especially when I didn't get it, but I do now. And that's the thing. I was just trying to tell a story, but it wasn't an absolute true story. So here, I'll share another thing with you. I was interviewing somebody for the podcast, and the boss or someone had said to me, do you know that some of the things that they're telling you is not true? Like, that's not all the gospel. I'm like, I don't really care. Like, I don't really care. It's an inspiring story. That person is inspiring. Somebody will hear this and be inspired by all that he is. Not all the words he's saying has to be true. I was like, The Lion King is not true. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, not true. All these other films that we may watch and they tell you that we'd be inspired by are not true, but we are inspired by them. We can connect to them. We can find solace in them. We can find connection, you know. So they don't have to be true, these stories. You know, they just have to have an impact on our soul, on our mind, on our life. You know, and that's the most important thing for me. So it doesn't have to be true. Now, don't get me wrong. The story was amazing, that I believe most of it is true, and people can take so much from it, so that's important to me. There was another poem in here I wanted to share with you. It's on page 30. It's called Dancing with Complexities, and this was just inspired by probably a conversation with my little brother, because he had a hangover one day and he was struggling, and I made a face from him. And he's like, what are you making a face for, Mr. Love and Kindness? Are you not supposed to be love, kindness, compassion, all that? But yet you're giving me a hard time. And he said a few other choice words, and I just laughed at him. And that's the thing. When I started like the podcast and follow my spiritual path and talk about love, kindness, compassion, people then pigeonhole you and think you're just this. You're just all love and kindness. You're all compassion. Yada yada. You live it. You know, a Tao lifestyle. You have the mentality of a monk. Or you know, and then when you deem, or when you step outside the lines of, you know, not love, kindness, compassion, you know, you're fake and it's all just bullshit. Blah blah. So, for anyone that knows me and knows me well, like him, will know that I can go from love, kindness, compassion, understanding. That I can be an asshole sometimes. I can be difficult with people. I can be very confrontational sometimes. As much as I don't like it, it's just probably my go-to place when I'm fearful or yada, yada, yada. This love, kindness, compassion is a practice. I'm changing how I'm living my life. But it's not who I am. Like the other stuff is not who I am. You know, I can go from having a deep, meaningful conversation to to just falling into meeting somebody and having a gossip about someone till I catch myself and say, that's not a good way to practice. But it doesn't mean I'm all of one and all not of all of the other. We can be a blend of all things. Like, as my mentor would say to me, when you're holding the white dove, remember you're also holding a black dog. So when we try to be all holy and zen, we forget that we have a shadow and a dark side, you know. And that's what this is about, this poem. It's called Dancing with Complexities. You know, as I say, I can go from deep meaningful conversation to office gossip. I can go from reading scientific books and scientific literature to watching rubbish on the internet and finding hilarious and non-PC jokes. And you know, it's just the full spectrum of life that we try embrace, but sometimes people don't see that. So I wanted to paint that picture to allow people a little insight to how I think and how I am sometimes. So I'll read it for you. It's called Dancing with Complexities. I dance between intellectual prowess and inappropriate humor. I can see beyond and above the hypothesis and theorists while still enjoying colouring outside the lines in life. I'm at ease spending long nights engaging in deep, meaningful conversations, yet also cherishing brief moments of office gossip at the water fountain. My life and language is a blend of urban slang and spiritual principles that creates and shapes my conceptual and geographical communities. The world I live in and the universe no longer reflects a familiar vision because of the shift of the lens within my prisms of life. Black, white, grey, and my rigidity to life have now been replaced with an attitude that resembles the remnants of a unicorn slumber party. My repertoire and colloquialisms are a collection of namaste, what's the crack, amen, mind your little self, or jog on and get the boat. All of equal and valuable currency, depending on the situation, time, or place. And that's the thing. You know, I'm not all of one, and I'm not all of the other. And I absolutely love that. It's a true reflection of who I am. And that's me just being honest. Because I could be honest with you and say, a couple of years ago, all I was trying to do was be kind, be loving, yada, 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 and trying to push away that shadow, that dark side. And that in itself is dishonest, because that is part of who we are. That is, we can't have the dark, or we can't have the light without the dark. You know, we can't have the high moments without appreciating that we've had the low moments. They're connected. We can't just cut the cord and say, ah, that's gone. Like our past, like my past, I wouldn't be sitting here if I didn't have my past. I wouldn't be able to sit here and be honest and open and talk about empathy, compassion, all that, if I didn't experience trauma and abuse and hurt, or I haven't experienced the dark things that I've done. I've stolen people, I've hurt people, I've wrecked people's lives, you know, through my actions. You know, I can't talk about forgiveness if I don't acknowledge those things. If I can't forgive myself, I can't talk about forgiveness if I don't acknowledge the dark past. No, I can't talk about love, kindness, compassion, understanding if I don't talk about them in equal measure. And that's the reflection of my life. And that's why I want to be honest. And that's why I wrote this. And I think it's a deadly poem, and I've got great feedback. People absolutely love it. Yeah. So look, that's my poems. That's my work. That's why I write the way I write. You know, and I love telling the story, and I've talked about this in the courses that I run and the work I do with people. You know, when I tell my story, when I teach, when I talk about it, I learn too. It's a two-way street. When you teach, two people learn. The other person learns, but then you also learn as well. So I'm absolutely delighted to share, because I've healed so much from sharing my story. The book has been, it's been a life changer for me, you know, telling my story, the podcast. But it's really the most impact it's had, it's been on my family. So I want to share with you the impact that has had. I'm okay to share it with you. I asked my ma, you know, we had a really powerful couple of conversations, and I asked, I would it be okay for me to share that, and she would. And I won't divulge any of her private business, that's hers. But I'll tell you about some of my stuff. So, from September to December, when the book came out, I experienced the most anxiety that I've ever had since 2012, when my anxiety really became heightened, and I became aware that I was really, really struggling, and I went on to wanting to take my life by suicide. And this September to December into January was really, really hard. It was tough. I felt like I was back there, but I wasn't. I had the same body experience. I had the random anxiety. I was waking up, just flashes of anxiety. But the difference between then and now is that I have the tools, the understanding, the knowledge, the support around me, the guides, the experience that got me through it. I reminded myself, you've been here before, you've done this before, we've had this dance, you've played this game, this too will pass. All the stuff that I talk about in this book, I was using, practicing my gratitude, practicing my habits, staying on track, watching my nutrition, practicing connection, staying on my point with my meditation, just keep going, not falling into, you know, my vices of drink and drugs and sex and, you know, staying on my spiritual path, all that kind of stuff, all the stuff that I had built up was serving me well, all the learnings I've had, you know, in the difficult times, they came back to support me, my friends, my family, my job, you know, I phenomenal supports around me. But it didn't stop me experiencing. But I didn't try to make it go away. If anything I can take from this is, I just let it be. I just let it go through. I had to go through me. I had to recognize all the work that I was doing. I was still producing. Like 2020 was a crazy, crazy year for me and Andy. The amount of things that we've done, we built a new studio. We raised $3,500. I'd done the book. I produced 2 programs. We produced hundreds of videos. We produced 50 or something podcasts or 40 something podcasts. It was a hugely successful year. And then on top of that, you know, the impact of the book, my own personal fears around putting it on paper that, you know, I had a drink and drug problem, you know, sexual abuse, mental health, suicide, you know, people in my job are actually going to read that. I was putting it in a contract, I was putting it in a book. I know I've talked about it, but it just seems something like it was solid that I'm putting down on paper and people are going to see it. But most of all, my family, my ma and da, because they haven't really understood the difficulty that I've had over the years. They didn't realize the amount of drugs I took. They didn't realize the amount of drink that I consumed. They didn't realize how toxic, didn't realize how difficult my mind was, because I didn't tell them. I didn't really tell anyone. Like, people have told me, my mate's brother said, ever since you started a podcast, I've only really got to know you. I've known you 30 or 40 years, and only now I've known you, because I never told people about the mental health difficulty, because I didn't know why I was doing what I was doing. It was only when I took away the crutches, as I said earlier, that it all started to fall apart. So yeah, the stuff about my family, my mom, my dad, I believe that we're very typical to a lot of families. We don't like talking about the difficult stuff. We don't like talking about pain and trauma and hurt, because, again, as I'm not going to tell you my ma's story, my ma grew up in a difficult environment. My ma was one of 10 children, I think 10, 3 girls, 7 boys. And back in the 50s, that was a difficult period. So my ma had her trauma, had her difficulties in life. You know, so she didn't want to go back there. She didn't want that. She wanted to get away from that. So everything, my ma's a warrior. And my ma's a beautiful, beautiful soul. She's kind and gentle. But she's had a difficult, she's had her trauma in her mind. She want to go there, so everything is not to go there. Everything is protect. If you ring my ma at 3 o'clock on a Tuesday or a Wednesday unexpected, the first thing you get is, "Are you okay? Is everything okay? What's wrong? Is all okay?" Blah blah blah. She's a warrior, and that I grew up with that. I grew up with those fears, anxieties, and worries. They were handed over to me because I truly believe that the environment shapes you, not just my house, the liberties, your area, your community, Ireland, you know, shapes you. Yeah, that's how I grew up. That's the way my house was. Don't talk about pain. Don't talk about trauma. Don't talk about shame. Don't talk about difficult moments. Everything's okay. You okay? I'm okay. You know, same with my dad going through cancer. My man just wants everything to be okay. Is your dad okay? Everything. You know, but it didn't allow us to talk about our fears, anxiety, shame, trauma, my sexual abuse. I wasn't given that platform. Not because my man and dad didn't love me. Not because my man and dad didn't care. Or my family didn't care about that, because they just couldn't face looking into the pain and shame, because they take responsibility, they take blame, it hurts. But I didn't know that as a kid. I didn't know that growing up, you know. I didn't know how to express my emotions, my fears, my anxiety, my worry, my shame. I didn't know how to talk about the trauma. I didn't know how to speak up for myself. I didn't know how to advocate for myself. And I was just trapped in this little mind. Or fuck, I had a gigantic head. I have the same head as I had since I was 2 or 3, but it was all stored in here. So I didn't tell anyone, didn't tell my friends, didn't tell my ma. But going through the podcast, going through the work that I've been doing, I've been learning to express and talk about it. And then along came the book, and I started putting down my poetry, and we started putting the book together. And so I've gone through counseling for the last 10 years now, or is it 10 years? 10 years. 10 years, we're coming up to 10 years, 9 years. And I've done some phenomenal work, counseling, holotropic breath work, reading diligently, courses on mental health, courses on mind, soul, and body to change my life, to change my mind, change my body, change everything about my past. I've done the work, and I've been expressing and healing along the way. And this is how this, it's accumulated to this. But I was also very mindful that my family haven't. My ma, my dad, my brothers, my kids haven't. So I was like, oh my God, you know, I'm going to be talking about this. They haven't done the work. I get it at an intellectual level. I get it. The pain and trauma that people have put onto me, that done to me. I get it that they did that from an unconscious place. They didn't mean to hurt me. They were acting out. That's my beliefs. And I'm okay. And I never wanted to hurt my mom, my dad, and talk about these pains and traumas, because I get it. But I have to tell my story. I have to open up, because I want to express it, because for so long it's been buried down deep inside me that I have to get it up. You can't, if you don't express it, if you don't feel it, you can't heal it. And that's what I want to do. But I also was very mindful that I don't want to hurt my ma and dad and my family. You know, my brother Kieran, he's been along with me on this journey, and he's just phenomenal. He calls me his hero. He's my hero. He's just been such a loving and kind human being to me, and minds me. It's brilliant that I can go to my little brother for counsel and guidance and love and kindness. So the book was coming out, and I rang me dad, and I says, Dad, this book that I'm writing, I said, it's not going too deep about stuff. It's my poetry, but you know, it is deep, and it'll talk about my past and all. Is that something that you and me ma want to be reading, you know? And he goes, oh, Matt, gee, yeah. And I was like, look, I totally understand if it's not something that you can handle, and it's too hard for you, my dad's going through cancer, you know, I understand, it's grand. I just want to talk about it. But if you just don't read, if you don't read it, I won't take it personal. It's cool. Just whatever you just want to do to mind yourselves. And he said, yeah, probably best off. So I just grand left it. Book was coming out. Me and Shauna were going off to do a talk at Junior Genius, who were sponsors, with it, helped me publish it and produce it. And my man was like, where are you going? So we're going to do a talk. And again, I didn't want to be talking about it, because I had the conversation with my dad. I didn't want to be rubbing my man's face or bringing it up, because my ma has closed conversations down about my past before, because she doesn't want to hear it. So I just brushed through it. And then one day I went in, and maybe a week or two later, and she goes, you never told me you have the book coming out. And I says, what? She never told me that the book was coming out. And I says, you know your man that lives in this house, your husband. I told him did he not tell you? And she was like, no, your dad's gone through cancer. And he says, I know, but did he not tell you that I had this conversation? And she says, no. Do you not want me and your dad to read it? And I was like, oh, here we go. And this is the thing about our family, not having difficult conversations. So this then become like climbing Mount Everest with me ma. As I'm not used to having difficult conversations with me ma about things like this, because she closed it down, I wouldn't talk about it, because this both want to protect each other, meant there was no talking, so it meant it just grew in both of us, and this has been going on since I was a child. So I says, ma, absolutely, of course I'd want you and me dad to read it. I want you, you're me ma, he's me dad, and me family, of course I want you to read it. It's me story, and I'd love you to. And then I gave her some examples of, ma, you close me down when I talked about drink, drugs, and my past. Me ma tried to get me to put Bon Jovi on my lips one day, and I kept saying no. And she was like, put this on, put this on. And I was like, ma, I'm not putting fucking Bon Jovi on my lips. It reminds me when I done cocaine. Ah, Jesus Christ, don't be talking about that in my house. Me ma's mad into Jesus, right? Don't be talking about that in my house. Don't hear all that kind of carry on, blah, blah. And I smile, you can't suppress my past. This is something that's happened to me. I did it, and now you're trying to ask me to put Bon Jovi, and I'm telling you why. And you're closing it down. So I told her this on the day. And I says, also, man, I talk about drink and drugs and trauma and all me hurt, I says, in my life. I says, will you be okay reading this? I says, is this something that you can handle? I says, you and me down. I says, I've done years and years of counseling. I get it at an intellectual level. I understand it. I says, but this is opening my soul and helped me to express and heal it. Is that something that you and me down be okay to do? I says, oh, I am trying to protect you here. I says, that's why I rang me down. And she goes, oh, your dad doesn't want to be talking about these things, he's cancer and blah, blah. My dad doesn't want to be talking about pre-cancer from since we were a child. He just wants everything to be okay, like me ma, and like me too. So we had this bit of a conversation, and then me ma turned around and says to me, did I do anything, did I do anything on you to hurt you? I says, ma, look, so I had to be very mindful of what I say, you know, because I know her past. I know the difficulty she's had. And I know my ma is a lovely, kind, beautiful soul. But she may have done things as a parent that wasn't beneficial to me as a child because she didn't know this. She didn't have the training that we have today. She didn't have the understanding or the awareness that we have today on how to rear kids, especially in the 80s and the liberties, you know. So I gave her a couple of soft examples of things that she may have said to me that she thought was beneficial to me, you know, trying to toughen me up, trying to prepare me for the real world, you know, parenting the way she was parented and giving it to me. As Gabor Mate talks about generational pain, you know, she didn't understand that she had pain, and she was with parenting through the eyes of pain. You know, she seen this little kid that was made doing things, and she'd say to me, don't do this, don't do that, don't say this, don't say that. And I was just this sensitive, fragile little soul that didn't know what was going on. So then I thought I was bad, I thought I was broke, I thought I was horrible or whatever, you know, like. And I gave her a few examples of those things, and I says, who showed you these things? Who taught you how to be a parent? Who gave you the advice and that was the right thing to do? And she goes, that was handed out to me. And I said, exactly, ma, you didn't do this on purpose. This wasn't a conscious decision. You weren't evil or bad or trying to hurt me. You were trying to toughen me up. You were trying to protect me, you know. And I get it, I got it. You know, and it was lovely to share that. And I gave her a few examples, like, you know, I was my ma's shopper. She used to send me up to me, she'd get this, get that. And if I came back with, say, ham that was fatty, she'd scream at me, don't take that, that's shit. Don't let them speak to you like that. Don't bring that back. So I had to go back to the shop, I don't know, Charlie Moore's or whatever it was, to be predominantly mostly women in the shop. My ma said, this is fatty. My ma said, don't give this to me. I was fucking terrified. So I had my ma roaring at me. I had the embarrassment of going back. You know, there was all these kind of shit, you know. And then I gave her a few other examples, you know, not feeling loved. And yeah. And my ma was just parenting the way she was parenting. She was hurt, and then she was, how old was my ma? She was possibly 23 when she had me. So then I was 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever. Like, she was into drinking back then. I have to think back when I had Sean at 23, what my life was like. It was fucking chaos. So I think back when she was a parent, but me growing up, I didn't know this. I just didn't think I was good enough. Then I had the trauma, then I had the sexual abuse, then I had the stuff in school, then I had me hair, then I had the fact I had ginger hair, and I was tortured and tormented and bullied as a kid, and things said stuff to me. So with all this going on, it's never just one thing. It wasn't me ma roaring at me to tell me I was fucking not gonna grow up or anything. Man, do your homework. Or do your homework properly, or you'll end up in the corpo, or you'll end up McDonald's, or you'll never get a job anywhere. These are all comments to try to motivate me to do better in life, but they weren't. They were compounding and oppressing me, thinking that I'll never be anything. I'll never be good enough. But she was just trying to G me up, trying to get me to do better in life. You know, my ma's my biggest advocate. My ma's my biggest love. My ma's is always ever out to look after me and love me, and she's so kind. She minds my grandchild or her grandchildren. She's just such a kind soul. It was just she was working off a booklet that wasn't right for me. And plus, my little brother is totally different to me. Like, and that's the thing, my ma changed as a parent. And I used to explain this to Ciarán. She changed. She wasn't the parent she was with me or my older brother Jay or my younger brother Ciarán. She's totally different because she changed. You know, people change. Like, I'm a different parent to Mia than I am to Sean. She changed. She learned and grew, got older, mature, and learned that these are not the way to do things. But nothing was done out of malice or hurt. And same as me dad. Like, getting the slaps, and I used to box the head on me because I'd done awful things. I'd done some fucking terrible things as a kid. I brought our family into shame, got our name in the church newsletter for the bad things I'd done. I stole, I burned, I wrecked things because I grew up in a fucking environment that was bananas. Bananas in my mind, bananas in the house, bananas in the streets. It was just a mad toxic. I was the product of my environment. Me ma was the product of her environment, me dad as well. And that's the thing about generational pain. You know, we carry it on, and that's where I'm trying my best to break it a little bit with my kids. Probably not as much with Sean, a little bit more with me, because I'm aware of it. My ma didn't have that awareness. Her ma didn't have that awareness. Their ma didn't. So I don't blame me, ma. I don't blame me, dad. I don't blame the liberties of my family or about that. It was all done at an unconscious level. As Maya Angelou says, and I say this all the time, if we knew better, we'd do better. And I truly, truly believe that. I know now my actions and my behaviours. So I don't try to do the same thing. You know, I'm like lawyer, or your man Jim Carrey, or lawyer. I find it really difficult now to tell lies. It's just morally not right for me anymore. But before, I was an absolute fucking spoofer. I ripped people off. I robbed people. I done bad things to people. I told lies. I didn't know how to lie in bed straight. Because all I was trying to do was to protect myself, to mind myself from further hurt. So I lied and stole and done awful things out of fear and ignorance and protection of myself. But now I'm fully aware, well, as much as I can, so I don't do those things, you know. And that's, so how can I blame my family? How can I blame the liberties or my past or other people when I have done bad, when I have made mistakes, when I have done people wrong, you know, at an unconscious level? I've done worse things than people that I've been pissed off with. But yeah, I still had the grow and the balls to have a gripe with them, you know. So me and my ma, we spoke about it. And it was just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. We cried, we talked about my sexual abuse, and because that's something we couldn't really talk about, because it hurts her. She sees me hurt. She doesn't want to talk about it. I don't want to hurt her. My dad doesn't want to talk. We all don't want to talk about it. So we had an open conversation about it, and I said, you know, we talked about it, and we said we'll talk about the power of not talking about it. And it was just phenomenal. She read it, the book, and she rang me or she texted me, and I went in, and she was just so proud, and she was sorry she wasn't there for me. Just to hear me, man, say those things, you know. I don't want to say her hurt, but it was lovely that she could acknowledge it and tell me that she wasn't loved, and that's what she found it difficult. And it was just brilliant, and it was so healing. It was so healing. For her and for me, and it's changed our relationship. And I was only talking to her 2 weeks ago, and I says, "Do you think that things have changed between us?" And she's, "Yeah, unbelievable." And I says, "I have too, because I used to go into me ma's knowing she was a loving, kind, beautiful human being, but she may have done things years ago that I'm still angry and annoyed with." So I was going in there passively aggressive, passively abusive to her. Unbeknownst to her, I wasn't telling her why I was angry. So I'd pull her up on anything she'd say. I'd catch her out on something if I thought she wasn't being true to her word or judgmental of people. I'd be on her. All based on the child that was roared at or shouted at or treated unfairly, blah, blah. But she didn't know this. So I used to do this. I'd leave me ma's and I'd be fucking riddled with anxiety, riddled with guilt. You're treating your ma like this, you're doing this, you're doing that. Because I was looking through the eyes of a child when I went into my ma's. Although I had all these years of training at an intellectual level, understood me ma, understood me that, understood me own pain, but still I acted out of these. I couldn't get past that pain because I didn't express it. Now I go into my ma's, it's totally different. I'm at ease with her. Does she annoy me? Does she irritate me? Absolutely. Just like my kids, just like my brothers, just like my friends and family. But that's just my own perception on the event. That's no reflection of who they are or what they're about or their story. And I get that. So me and my ma have a fucking absolutely brilliant relationship now. It's absolutely lovely. She is hugely religious. She's usually spiritual. I'm usually spiritual. I'm not as mad into Catholicism. That's not for me. But we share conversations about spirituality, angel cards, spiritual guides, more connected. My ma's favorite color is purple. I never realized this. My favorite color now is purple, probably a bit more pink as well. The synchronicity, the impact of my ma on my life was phenomenal. And it's all came to fruition, and it's all came to the surface by telling my story. The power of expressing, the healing that's came from that. When we heal, our family heals, but we have to go through the pain and trauma in order to get over something. I truly believe, for me, we have to go through it. We have to go through the hard conversations of pain, the anxiety, the sleepless nights, yada, yada, yada. You have to go through that in order to reach the point of love, understanding, forgiveness, compassion, empathy. You know, and that's what that done for me. And I know it's healed for my family. There's other people in my family, close people I won't talk about, but they're healing too. And I want to be an advocate for that, to say, do you know what? You can do this. It's not easy, but you can do it. In order to do this work, you have to be a warrior of your soul. It's not easy, but the boy, he'll get you through it, you know. And I admire anybody that decides to do this work, to turn in. You know, I'm not talking about going off and writing a book or starting a podcast and telling the world or shout from the rooftops about your story and your healing, blah, blah. If you just want to start expressing your pain and trauma through writing or creativity or going to counseling or finding a friend or finding what works for you, or jumping in the sea or finding community, whatever works for you, whatever you want to do. But if you're willing to turn in and look in the mirror and look at yourself, I applaud you. I take my hat off to you. You're a warrior of the soul, because I know what it's like to go the other side and drink and abuse yourself, abuse other people. For me, that's the easier thing to do. That's the easier thing. That's, You know, for me to turn away from pain and trauma and go bingey, drink, and turn to toxicity and blame and negativity. That's easy. That's my autopilot. I can do that real easy, and that comes up for me when I'm triggered. Like if I'm judged by somebody in work, or not judged, if I feel judged, I feel something, I'll puff up. I'll either puff up or shrink down, and that's just to protect myself. I'll attack. Best form of defense is attack, and I catch myself. That's my go-to thing to do. So the hardest thing for me to do is to turn into the pain and practice love, kindness, compassion, and live wholeheartedly. That's the hard work. That's it. You know, but I truly, truly believe it reaps the best benefit. It reaps the ultimate goal in life, and that's love. Love. Love is the golden ticket, you know, and that's where I try for in life. And how do I do that? It's just by living, by practicing. You know, we talk about love, kindness, compassion, understanding, forgiveness, but I also acknowledge all the other parts of my life, you know, and I value them. They're just there to serve as a purpose and as are a gift to me. So that's the power of my story. That's the power of our story. Hopefully you enjoy that. Let us know what you think. If any of that impacts on you, please reach out to us. Please reach out to help. You know, we have Shannon's Hopeline that are doing huge work in the community. If you have any young kids, you know, mental health advocates, you know, there's mental health warriors, there's Pieta House, there's plenty of supports out there. Give us a shout if you need any support. We point you on to people. Don't suffer in silence. Please, please talk to people. Reach out. If any of this impact you, give me a shout. I want to shout out to my sponsors, Noel Riley from Rooney Media Graphics, Andy from Liberty Media Hub, the girls from Shannon's Hopeline. Shout out to the absolute heroes of my community as well, is the Liberty Soup Run. The amazing work that Christopher and Fran are doing, and all the volunteers. I take my hat off. They're true heroes of the Liberties. Thanks very much. We are looking to reproduce the book again. So if you'd like to collaborate with us, or if you know anyone that'd like to collaborate with us, this mental health toolkit. This book illustrates how I've moved from my head to my heart using love, kindness, compassion, understanding, but most of all, creativity and gratitude. It's a 52-week gratitude journal, just like Junior Genius. Get your logo on the front. There's advertising on the inside. You know, we'll promote on the podcast. Let us know. You know, this has huge impact in reducing, you know, anxiety, depression, not feeling worthy, not feeling good. You know, increased productivity, reduce absenteeism and work. You know, the work in this has been a life changer for me, and it has the power to change your life, or change your staff's life, or your family's life. So give us a shout if you'd like to collaborate with us. I'd absolutely love to hear from you. Or if you'd love to buy one of our books, you'll find it on our website at www.magicminds.ie or matt@magicminds.ie. We will send one out to you. We have hats as well. Also, if you like our work, we have a Patreon page. If you can afford the price of a cup of coffee or a pint or a can at this stage, head over to our Patreon page. If you can't and you don't have the money and you're struggling, don't be worrying about it. Free 99. All the work that I do on social media is free 99. There's loads of videos. There's loads of contact on our social media pages. Thanks very much for all the support and love and kindness that we get in from people. It's just phenomenal. It's brilliant. It's just lovely to be a part of this. Myself and Andy love it. Myself and Andy, same kind of mindset. You know, we love this. We don't do it for notoriety, fame, or success. It's part of what we do now. You know, people ask me, you know, will meditation bring me calm, peace, quiet, blah, blah, blah. I've studied and read books, and, you know, mind, soul, and body. The best bang for buck is do the work, do the things. You know, be what you want to become. If you want quietness, you want peace, you want less anxiety, depression, practice it daily. And that's what this gives me a platform to do. That's what gives me and Andy a platform to do this. You know, I don't engage in toxicity. I don't engage in, craziness and chaos and madness, because I want my life to be calm, quiet, peaceful, zen, love, kindness, whatever. You know, it's not just about sitting down on the mat. It's not just about the books. You don't become a yoga expert by wearing just yoga pants. You don't become strong by just buying whey protein. Or again, you don't become mental health strong by just reading certain books. You need to practice it. It needs to be part of your being. So there you go. As always, mind your little self. I truly, truly believe this. When you're kind and compassionate and understanding to your little self, you're a kind and compassionate human being to your family, your friends, your community. But it starts by being kind to you. Be gentle, be patient, be understanding for you and your past and the difficulty you have, and the world will change. When I started to turn in and be kind and compassionate to myself, I just seen my family and friends and the world totally different. I see things totally different. Not all the time, I'm going to be honest with you. Most of the time. It's a practice. Namaste. Eat some hay. Have a whopper day. Don't forget to like, review, subscribe, share with family and friends. Have a deadly day. Mind your little self. Bye-bye.